Right, it is officially that time. First time of 2022, I get to say welcome to PGA DFS Live Before Lock at awesomemode.com. The golf season is upon us. And although tee time won't be for many, many, many hours tomorrow, we're going to make like this is a extreme urgency situation. And to do that, I am brought by my man from last year, good friend Eric Lindquist. I know you're a golfer. I know you have to be excited, even though this is just a warm-up. And it's only a 38-man field. We do get to talk golf on a Wednesday night.
I didn't tell you this leading into the show because I wanted to save it until now. But this is the golf course I played twice on my honeymoon. So I was literally there in November. I stayed at Kapalua. We stayed at the Ritz there because we're fancy like that. Again, it's your honeymoon. You do it up once. You do it upright. You have it. You have a good time. And I married the right woman because she let me play 5 rounds of golf over the course of 7 days. So Kapalua, I'm very familiar with this golf course. I played it in a hurricane one day, played it very calm the other. It really comes down to wind, figuring out some of that stuff. We will get to it, some of the weather reporting, but it'll pop up out of the middle of nowhere. There is a ton of wind that can pop up from time to time out there. And if you avoid that, these guys are going to absolutely rip it apart. And if it's blowing, it should be fun.
I forgot that you played there. You got that inside information, obviously.
Tell you what.
It's a course that we've seen all the time, a very famous course, a staple of the PGA Tour. And I think the right way to get the season started, you know, a lot of the times on this show, we're going to be discussing the intricacies of a new course. We're going to be inferring one thing about Kapalua, say what you want about this tournament. We kind of know what we're getting. And I like that. I don't know if you're a fan of that, but I am.
I'm a big fan of it. Well, first of all, you can see the exact sample size, and for anybody who's new to the PGA streets, this very first tournament of the season, it's only people who won PGA sanctioned events last season who get the invite. So it doesn't matter if you're a top 10 player in the world. If you didn't win, you're not invited. That's what it comes down to. So you're going to have a lot of top quality players here. It seems like more and more times than not now, these guys are coming over to play in it. I know Phil Mickelson, he doesn't have any more PGA tournaments. He's going to be winning here, but he's never come over here. I'm excited to have guys like that. Some of the old guard mixed with this new guard of guys who have like one or two tournament sample sizes out here, but makes for a really fun sweat, makes it really enjoyable. And as I was saying before, everybody's got win equity because again, everybody just got done winning within a calendar year ago.
Said this yesterday. It doesn't make it any less true. When I saw Phil in the field, I genuinely was confused at what he won. Because I blocked out that disturbing episode.
Oh, yeah. Just a major. Just a major. No big.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. And we had all the Louis that week. It was a great week.
No, it was a terrible. I said things that I can never take back about Phil's chances at that tournament. We're not going to talk about that. It's a new year. It's 2022. And you know what we got? In addition to a lot of new features that we're going to get into, got a new sponsor. And it's a sponsor that's been with us a long time for NFL and NBA. And they have chosen to take the plunge with golf, and we are so happy. It's Yahoo Fantasy. I know a lot of you guys have been playing over there, and we've talked about this a lot. Yahoo is doing some things that honestly are turning heads, and if you haven't been over there, they are running big-time contests with either negative rake, they call it management fees, or zero rake, double ups, really good. 33% of people are cashing at just really, really good structures to these tournaments, and we have a promo with them. New Yahoo users, it's on the screen right now. Our man Tyler, new golf producer, is on it. You get 1 free month of Awesome One Plus Platinum with your first time deposit and paid contest entry. It is a win-win. We have tools tailored to their contest, and they are giving away money with some of these very generous prize pools. And they've got PGA, obviously, NFL, NBA. There's a lot you can do over there, Eric. I know you've done some Yahoo content. I know you're a fan of the platform.
Huge, huge fan. I had the honor and privilege of writing for them for MLB season. I was able to cover some of the stuff for baseball. Of course, people probably associate me more with the NBA and NFL streets, but again, PGA is my baby. I played golf at Iowa State back in the day, and seeing a 5K up top contest to start off the new year here with the PGA over there, a 12% management fee, that's also known as rake. We're looking at the lowest rake contests across the entire industry for their NBA product. I mean, this is basically exactly what their NBA GPPs are. If we can be expecting that week in, week out over on Yahoo, we are going to be in luck because these tournaments are great. They're very good payout structures as well. For $20, you're much more suited putting your money towards this tournament than any other tournament available on any other site.
Well said. It's very, very exciting. And again, we're going to be talking about that throughout the show. Our man, I didn't even know he was in Team Awesome, but he is now. DM Brian 007, really good guy, in chat a lot. Welcome aboard. And for a lot of people, I know it's a new golf season. If you are new to this stream, if you are new to this channel, welcome aboard once again. If you can hit the like button, that supports us. And if you want to be part of this, hit that subscribe button, totally free. But you join the channel, we have a ton of content. As you can see, we're over 70,000 subs, growing quickly, and we're very, very excited. But it's time to get into some golf. What do you say?
Let's do it, my dude.
All right. Easy, easy starting point, weather and withdraws. The weather seems fine. We're in Hawaii. I don't see anything that's too alarming. There's always some wind equity, I guess we could call it, where maybe the course is blowing, but you've been out there. It's very generous fairways. I don't think that that's something that I'm too worried about, particularly because it's a 38-man field. It's not like we've got tee time splits or things of that nature.
So the first round that I played out there, it was blowing up to 40 mile an hour gusts. It was a struggle to break 80. I shot 79, making like a bomb on the last hole. The next time I played it was 5 mile an hour winds, like one of the first tee times off, and pretty easily should have played a lot better than I did. But it is like two completely different golf courses. I'm telling you right now, if there's no wind out there, these fairways, as you said, are very, very generous. We never really have to look at too much to say like everybody's going to be hitting fairways above expectation out on this golf course. There's a number of spots you can find your strokes gain data, but if you just group it by this golf course specifically, really disregarding anything that has to do with driving outside of just being able to bomb it, a guy like Bubba, a guy like John Rahm, a lot of these guys are hitting it plenty far, no issue whatsoever playing any type of golfer. That's kind of what makes this golf course really fun for me, is the types of golfers and the way that you can kind of build. You've really taught me to build more towards game types and player types. Well, you only have a limited number of guys, but there's still kind of little subsets where you might be able to find a little bit of a course fit. And I think that there's a number of guys who have played well here that I wouldn't expect to play well, and guys that haven't performed as well out here, Bryson DeChambeau, that I would expect to do a little bit better. So I'm looking forward to kind of getting your opinion on some of these builds, because it is a fascinating golf course. But yeah, for the most part, everybody's going to be hitting fairways.
Yeah, again, I don't think weather is an issue. Withdraws, there's one, Cameron Champ. Which made things a little easier for us. There had been reports that he wasn't fully healthy, and there's always he might be very low owned. Do we take the risk? No, now he's gone. So 38 players, it makes it much easier. Other than that, everyone, as far as you know and I know, is good to go, correct?
Yeah, it's a bummer because I wish people would have played 5-6% of Cameron Champ. I would have had 0% on this golf course. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Let's get into the thick of it. So this is the Tournament of Champions. How did these 38 guys get here? Well, it's pretty simple. They won at some point last year. It's a non-cut for people that are new to golf. That means you're going to get all four guaranteed rounds in a traditional event after Friday. Top 65 and ties move on. The rest of them, you get the big glaring MC and your winnings plummet if you had any to begin with. Here, you get a sweat all the way till Sunday. So all our golfers are there. I'd like to ask you this because I think one of your best features with golf, in addition to playing it, is that you understand the formats really well, whether it's like a WGC or something like this versus a traditional cut. Do you do something differently to plan for something like this where we only have 38 golfers?
Just find birdie makers. I think generally they're going to be the most expensive guys on the board, but because of the way DraftKings scorings works, there's a guy like Justin Thomas. There are a number of times in WGC events where he'll finish 8th or 10th or do something like that. But he'll make so many birdies and eagles and give you such a boost in DraftKings scoring that you just end up overweight to him anyway, and it works out more times than it doesn't. You get a guaranteed 4 rounds as opposed to 2 rounds and then a nervous sweat. You know, there are a number of times where you'll have guys that are on the fringe that can make hundreds of thousands of a dollar difference one shot from some of those guys. You're guaranteed to get 72 holes of all of these dudes. That makes the birdie makers really jump to the top for me. You can group it right off the bat. Justin Thomas is going to be a guy that I love, leads this field in the last 2 years in birdie making ability, averages over 6.5 per on this golf course. I mean, it's a ridiculous amount of birdies that he's made out at Kapalua specifically. And then on tour in general, it just always comes down to hitting fairways and such for him here. But as we said before, that's probably one of the easiest features of hitting a golf ball around Kapalua. So there's going to be guys like him, Victor Hovland, who, you know, in his one performance, you can't really overvalue one performance or two performances on this golf course when other guys have four, five, six. But for the most part, these no-cut events, we are just looking at capturing all the upside from guys who generally go lower than others.
No doubt. But, you know, this is a thing with placement points in PGA. Obviously, when it's a very difficult course, the overall percentage of your points allocated to your placement points is much, much higher because you just aren't getting streaks. You aren't getting bonuses. At a place like this, you could have somebody outscore someone who finishes above them in the tournament by a significant margin, especially if you're not talking about those top end placement points. The difference is like one birdie. And when you're, you know, throwing 25 out there in a given week, it can really, really change things. So I think targeting those birdie or better percentages, pure scores, we're on a course. This is very unique. It's a par 73, and how they get there is there's still all the, it's not like we have an extra par five. There's just one less par three, and we still get the four par fives to attack. Is that something you look at in terms of like par five scoring?
Yeah. So, I mean, par five scoring here, I mean, that's one of the reasons that a guy like Bryson or John Rahm or some of these other guys that really kind of stand out, that just annihilate par fives, you get those extras and that just becomes like auto points. But I will say that there's a number of paths that it seems like I don't want to go completely nuts with it here. Looking at a lot of the par four scoring, there's a number of these spots where you get some downwind holes and there's things that are drivable on the back nine. There's a number of spots where you can still pick up some strokes here or there, but the guys who decimate par fives, I think definitely have to get some sort of a boost out here.
Yeah. Again, you're going to have some opportunities to be very aggressive. And when we get into the players, we'll talk about that. Just to give you some context about the field, again, 38 golfers, seven of the top 10 in the world are here, 28 of the top 50 in the world are here. Dustin Johnson and Rory would be here, but they chose not to play. This tournament has been played here for basically, you know, 25 straight, you know, just since the 90s. It's a very, very traditional event. We get a lot of that. When you look at it, we've mentioned generous fairways. Is it become a putting fest? Is it become a target practice with your irons? Is it a mix and match? When you look at the course history, you know, there's a lot of different types of players that have won here. And I don't know if you can draw a ton from that, from Harris English to JT to Xander. What do you make of that?
Yeah, as I said before, I think that for the most part, I think the driving distance can be a little bit, or sorry, not driving distance, just total driving can be a little bit noisy. It is the probably the most forgiving golf course you could have imagined playing. It's a resort golf course. It's made for a lot of wind out there, and you're not going to have a lot of difficult tee shots to really worry about and maneuver. So it really is a second shot golf course, getting the ball in the hole, being able to get up and down from certain spots. But it's not a very penal spot whatsoever. It's definitely more forgiving than your average PGA Tour golf course. That's why you see scoring as low as what it is. So many different types of ways to get it done here, but traditionally, it seems as though just being able to putt it and roll the rock on this surface type, and you know where I'm getting with that, with Bermuda, but welcome back. It's like we never left, Ben.
No, we're going to get into your boy in just a minute, but I do think my big takeaways, again, for this course, there's a lot of different ways. I don't think it lends itself to one skill set in a very aggressive way. Some courses like RBC Heritage or some of the longer courses, you really need, I think it rules out guys from the beginning. Here, any type from Kevin Na to Bryson, I think can succeed here. But let's get into it a little bit with some of these players. I know we went through all of the field yesterday on the Tuesday show, and you can check that out. We're going to rank them. We're going to do some things. But before we get into that, I do want to quickly talk about, it is 2022, and obviously at Awesome-O, we take care of our people. We have some promos for you to start the year. We've got a couple different ones if you're looking to get involved. The first one, 2022, very simple. It's the year 2022. That is the promo code. It gives you 22 days of Awesome-O Plus Platinum for just $20. So if you're looking, you haven't signed up and you're saying, I don't want to fork over a ton of money, but I'd like to see the tools. I'd like to see the ownership. I'd like to see how seemingly everyone except you and me is winning $1 million on this site. That's probably the best way to do it, to check it out. You get it for 20 days. If you're looking for maybe a little more, if you say, I tried it, I really like it, or I'm looking to lock up and save the most amount of money, happy 22, H-A-P-P-Y 22, 20% off a year of Awesome-O Plus Platinum. That is a big time savings. It's the entire year. You're locked in, covers you for all sports. You're saving a couple hundred bucks there. You see it on the screen from $9.99 to $7.99. These are fantastic deals. They're only valid for a couple more days. So if you're looking to save some money and you say, you know what, it's a great time of the year with NFL, with NBA, with PGA, take advantage of the promos. Again, 2022 or Happy 22, both great, great offers. All right, here we go. It's time. We're going to start throwing some names out. We're going to start getting into these golfers. I want to start at the top of the board with three big time names. John Rahm leads off the pricing. JT, I think, is going to be the most popular top end choice. Mm-hmm. And Bryson is a guy that I think could be a little, I don't want to say against the grain, but he's not on people's minds to that extent, in my opinion. So here we go. We're playing the game. Rank them.
All right. So 1 through 4, I'm going to go John Rahm 1, Justin Thomas 2, Colin Morikawa 3, Bryson 4. So I'm probably speaking directly into your Bryson DeChambeau narrative there. Colin Morikawa, I don't really know what to expect right out of the gate here. I mean, we know that when he has it on with the irons, it's just kind of over. And this is definitely the kind of spot where if he gets it going, you could be looking at some massive, massive scoring here. But John Rahm, better than a 10-to-1 favorite out here. If you look at his 16 rounds that he's played here at the Plantation course, I mean, he's just dominant around the green. He's been very, very good in that regard. The putting has been a little spotty. I do want to try to find some guys who can roll it a little bit better. The reason for JT is I just have no idea what to expect after last year. I would say that not being as bullish as what I was on him throughout my entire year of covering golf here, if I could have just found the way to accept that JT couldn't putt anymore until the World Challenge, when it didn't matter because there were like 15 guys playing. But Justin Thomas has just been a brutal, brutal putter. I'm going to wait and see with him, especially considering he is going to be the most popular guy. I was kind of planning on being a little bit higher on him, but John Rahm is turning into my priority up here. I really find no way around it. Like for me, just every single stat, every single number that you look at for him, he's dominant off the tee. We know that, but if you're not going to factor that in as much, well, he's dominant around the greens and his approach is phenomenal. So amongst this field, he's the world number one for a reason. So considering he's coming in 16% on Osmo's tools compared to like 26% for JT, I think that matters quite a bit.
Yeah, that's the fascinating thing. John Rahm is not getting, listen, when you're talking about a 38 man field in the top of the board, everyone gets some ownership, but he is not looking like the chalk, like the clear, obvious play. In fact, he's flirting with maybe the lowest owned of the 5-10K guys. And that is really surprising to me. I mean, is it even a hot take to say that Rahm's the best player in the world at this point?
No, he's the best player in the world. That's a fact. That's what it is. I mean, he's shown it time and time again. His consistency, his ability, just throw the Fortinet. Who gives a shit about the Fortinet? Like, that doesn't
get
matter.
That out but, of here.
Yeah, get out of here. Second, ninth, first, third, first, 116th, eighth, Memorial, 116th, the Memorial, he was dominating. He had to withdraw because of COVID. So like legitimately, you had a streak of like 9 or 10 consecutive top tens. Let's play some John Rahm when he's going to be lower on than the rest.
I have no problem with Rahm. Listen, JT, obviously the putting woes have hurt him. He's shown that he can clearly dominate at this event. You can obviously play these guys, but when you're talking about ownership discounts, I would rather play Rahm over JT, but I'm going to give some love to Bryson. He is not a name that I think a lot of people are going to. I bet Bryson this week at 12-1. I think that he's one of the players that can make a difference in a course that driving distance, I don't think is that important, but to an extent, if he chooses to use it as a weapon, he can obviously make angles and take lines into these holes that nobody else in this field can. And the thing about Bryson, and we've talked about this a lot last year, everyone talks about his driving. It's his putter that actually makes him win. He's a spike putter. For example, BMW, he gained 9.4 strokes putting. The US Open, 5.2. Wells Fargo, 7. When he gains, he gains a lot. In between that, it's mostly negative, but I'll live with that because when you get it, you tend to get a straight win. So I'm going to put Bryson up there for me. I think he's a very aggressive play, but one that is worthwhile this week. I want to ask you a little as we work down a bit about lineup construction. Are you going to have lineups where you have two guys north of 10K?
Yes, I will have some ROM, JT. I'm going to mainly have a lot of ROM and my boy, and then kind of sprinkling the rest of the range. I'm definitely going to have a ton of that. But Bryson is definitely somebody, I mean, again, he's a volatile player. And so four rounds of him, you know, there's probably going to be a spot that he's got to overcome a 38 or a 39 on some kind of a nine hole split, because he just does that to himself. But as you said, he's somebody who can just go out there, bomb it, do some stuff that nobody else can really do. And I am kind of fascinated at his current ownership. So, I mean, it's not that I'm saying just from a raw points perspective, I'm going ROM, JT, Morikawa, DeChambeau, but DeChambeau probably at 20%, I'm just fine with. I do like him more as an outright bet, though, for sure.
Fair enough. That is more than fair. Question from the chat and throughout the show, we will take questions. What we're making Live Before Lock this year, it's going to be a lot of interactive. We want to talk about your lineups, what you're doing. We're going to go through players, of course, but if you have questions, you're struggling with the 2v2, you have a question about golf, drop it in there and we will talk about it. Who will be lower owned, Rahm or Bryson? I think it's pretty close, but I think Rahm is going to be lower owned. And to me, again, that's surprising.
I'll add this. And this is kind of me going through some of the lineups from last year. I was going through some top 10 winning lineups coming into this, just reviewing my year, because again, you want to kind of hold yourself accountable to things you did well, things you didn't. One thing that I think is kind of becoming a thing of the past is a lot of the stars and scrubs builds in PGA DFS. Now, I think it'll probably revert back in certain events where you do have value. It really depends. But I think DK and Yahoo have done a much better job of pricing players appropriately than they ever have before. And as a result, you're seeing players, like top players, really gravitate towards that mid-range where it's hard to get burned. Now, the difference between this event and another event is that it's a no cut, where a John Rahm, JT, and then punt is a little bit more viable to me than on a regular event where you're going Rahm, JT, and then you could be punting to a literal zero. So I think that that has to have a little bit of context for this event compared to other events.
So there's no doubt about it that the PGA Tour is getting deeper each year. And what happens is you have world-class players in strong fields that are like 8K. And when you're talking about cut equity, a lot of people build balance because you're naturally, you want six of six. That's always the goal. I do think in non-cuts, it reverts back more and more to stars and scrubs, because there's a mentality for a lot of people that say, I like these five and this last guy, whatever, what's the worst that can happen? He gets four rounds, knowing that they're somewhat barricaded from the true punishment. Do you see that with non-cuts a little more, where I think people are more apt to take the bottom of the board? Also, because generally in non-cuts, the bottom of the board is actual real players as opposed to straight creative players who usually fill in a full field event.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm getting at. I think it's far more viable to be going that direction on this kind of a slate. And that's where I'm saying I'm going to get some Rahm and JT builds. I'm going to get to some Rahm and Bryson build, some Morikawa and JT. Like, there's definitely going to be some ways in 150 lineups where you can lean more towards those type of builds, where regular event, because of the way that things, I think people have just gotten so content playing a bunch of guys that they know in that mid 8-9K range are all going to be pretty good, hard for them to really burn you. Well, in a no cut, I'm kind of thinking differently, where I'm seeing a lot of people gravitating towards this, you know, I guess there's only really two upper 9K guys. One's mega chalk. The other one, I think, is a really good play in Cantley. But I'm seeing this 8K range where there's just massive, massive ownership going to the likes of Koepka, Cameron Smith, Sung JM. And I get it, but I'm going to be kind of leaning away from those builds.
We're going to get to the 9K range in just a second. We had a question from Nate. How much money is usually left on the table? What would you recommend? So in golf, you definitely can get aggressive, but I tend to still say, if you leave more than like 1,000, you can upgrade, and I would recommend upgrading. I'm not saying it can't work. To me, a couple $100 to like 500, I'm totally comfortable with. If you love a lineup and it has like 700 or 800, I think that's fine. But I don't leave like thousands of dollars on the table, no matter what the event is.
Yep, I'm not going to do it. I do it more in majors where you can get a really nice 8-9K range, and you can find different builds where you don't have to go up to 10K. You find just these strong fields, and there's not much separation between the top end. But even in an event like this, I'm not looking at leaving over $1,000, because you do have some very pronounced ball striker score guys. Like, over the course of four rounds of golf here, Rahm, Morikawa, JT, Bryson DeChambeau, the four of them, it's hard for me not to believe that one isn't going to make enough birdies, like just a crazy amount of birdies to be optimal.
Great. I think that's really where you can attack it with some of these. Just don't go crazy with it. That would be my recommendation. All right. I think the key to this entire week is getting the 9K, and I call it the range, right? It's only three guys. It's Cantlay versus Xander versus your boy, Sam Burns. These guys are going to be very, very popular. Looking at our premium ownership, which is, again, one of the many reasons you want to sign up for those deals that we talked about, all of these guys are north of 20%. Sam Burns and Xander are pushing north of 25%. Rank them. I know you like Sam Burns. Do you have him ahead of both of the others? Do you like all three of these guys? What do you do with the three 9K players?
I mean, this is just a silly question. If you're just joining us for the first time, if you're joining us, welcome to the Eric Touts Sam Burns on Bermuda portion of the program. It will be every single time. I should almost not have to talk about him ever, because I'll just, you know, revert to whatever. This man, Sam Burns on Bermuda grass, or just Sam Burns in general, I think he's just a very, very good player. But the Houston Open, seventh. CJ Cup, he got fifth. That's not Bermuda. Sanderson Farms, first. We're looking at Byron Nelson, second. The Valspar, first. WGC St. Jude, second. I listed off a lot of Bermuda spots there, and I'm telling you right now, this guy just rolls the rock. It's also something sneaky about it, is just kind of the way that your clubs are designed. I know that Colin Morikawa talked about how he needed to change out his irons before the British Open, and it was like a major, major difference. If you have a certain grass type that you just feel more comfortable digging into the golf ball, if you have your wedges that are more tuned towards a certain kind of environment, I mean, he played golf at LSU, so obviously Bermuda grass, more prevalent in Louisiana in the South. So I think it's something that he's comfortable with. I think it's something that he's probably got the touch for the most. And I just tend to just jam him in these spots. And let me tell you, it's gone pretty well.
Well, there's no doubt it's gone pretty well. Sam Burns has been one of, if not the most impressive players. And that's why he finds himself amongst elite world-class players. And we had this conversation multiple times last year of, are you paying a premium or is Sam Burns this good? You tend to think he's this good. So far, he has absolutely shown he is this good. I have been on the other side of that, and I will continue to be at north of 25% ownership. He is an absolute killer on Bermuda. And when you get him on there, he's just dominated strokes gained putting. His tee to green game is still very solid. There's no doubt. I just don't want to pay that price when I can get Spieth and Deke and even Brooks for a significant discount in ownership and price. So it's nothing against Sam Burns. He is either playing above his head or he's just that good, like Hovland turned out to be.
I was going to say, for me, the path, though, you can play chalky players so long as you're not doing a lot of other chalky things in these large field tournaments. For me, the guy that I want to ask you about is Xander, because 26.4% seems a little bit like paying for name recognition. I think you're paying for some long-term history. Outside of the Olympics, there is nothing that is that impressive. The Tour Championship, you had, what, 30 dudes playing golf there. He finished fifth. That's, you know, kind of whatever for me. He had a pretty lackluster summer by his standards. He did have a top 10 at the U.S. Open, but his entire fall, coming off of the fall, I just don't believe that it's going to be there automatically. I think he's a phenomenal, phenomenal player, but considering he's a $400 discount and at the exact same ownership, I mean, for me, that's the reason that I'm getting to so much Sam Burns. Do you have any kind of a Xander lean?
No, I mean, Xander's someone that has shown, maybe it's just variance or noise, but really good skills in these non-cuts and small fields. A lot of his work has been done there. He's a winner at this event. He's got a well-rounded game. I thought he had a pretty shitty 2021 by his standards. He's just very, very popular. And I think a lot of people are going to start their lineups either JT Xander or Cantlay Xander, maybe even Cantlay Xander Burns. And again, you bring up the point, just because someone is popular doesn't mean you fade them. It just means that you have to be cognizant that you're not pairing them all together. So I may get to some Burns and some Xander, but I'm not super high on them when I think that there are other players. I would rather play Cantlay. I like Cantlay a lot. He's going to be popular too, don't get me wrong. I just like him straight up. And I'm only paying $200 more.
Yeah, I love Cantlay. And obviously he's got maybe the greatest quote in the history of this Plantation course. Go check out on YouTube him hitting his tee shot on 18, or I believe it was actually on 17, when he was rounding out his round about the Mai Tais. It's just hilarious. He's a underrated funny dude. So Patrick Hanley, 9,700. Again, that had no analysis whatsoever. What does is he's coming off of a W at the BMW, a W at the Tour Championship. He is playing, if you just carry over from last season, he's going to be in pretty good form, I would expect, right out of the gate here this season. I think it was just a matter of time. He's overcome a lot. It's starting to really come to fruition. He's one of the top five players on planet Earth. So happy to be clicking on his name.
Yeah, I think that Cantlay is a natural starting point for a lot of lineups. He's obviously a second man in plenty of lineups, and he really checks most of the boxes. One last question on Burns. This is a good question. I wanted to bring this up. Again, could be noise. He's one of the few guys, especially up top, that has not been here before because he's just broken through. Do you worry about that at all, or do you say, you know what, this guy has been just knocking off courses he's barely played with ease. It's not an issue.
For Sam Burns?
Yeah, because Kapalua historically, you know, repeat winners and guys who have played here tend to do better.
I would have more concern if it wasn't a player that I already believed in as much as what I do on his perfect grass type. Like, if we group this just by strokes gained Bermuda grass, we're looking at third amongst this entire field in DK scoring. So Sam Burns, just on this grass type compared to the rest of the field, has proven to be a monster. JT, surprisingly, number one in that regard. But again, TPC, so there's a lot of spots where I think it's not surprising that JT's definitely gone off. He's another class of player. I look at Sam Burns more like that than what you do. And I think that that's where the difference lies, is that Sam Burns is a guy who can put up scoring. It's always been around the green game here for him. And I think that that's less pronounced on big greens. This is going to be a really good spot for him, I think. Just the fit, the course fit is strong for him.
I hope you're wrong, but there's no doubt that Sam Burns is a talented guy. You can still bank, just not with the Sam Burns lineup. I'm rooting for you, friend.
Oh, no. Is Burns Andercurst? Can I not click him?
It might be Andercurst. That's not a good sign either. Moving to the 8K. And boy, do we have some ownership amassing in the mid eights right now. Giving you guys a little sneak peek again. We're being generous here with the ownership projections because it's the first tournament of the year. The top three right now projected ownership is Sungjae, Daniel Berger, and Cam Smith. And they are all within $100 of each other at 82, 83, and 8,400. Obviously, I assume you have interest in these guys, but again, rank them. Is one guy looking like possibly an over? Is one coming in underweight for you? What do you do with the popular range?
This range is a nightmare. Yes, so you think the 9K range is bad. There's only three dudes. And for the most part, I'm pretty clear cut that I'm going Cantlay, Burns. And I'm happy to live with the results of that. I really have been going back and forth on what I want to do with Spieth like a million times. I really don't know what to say about it because he's the kind of guy in a no cut who he gets it rolling and he could just bury you. And at 21%, I've never been a Jordan Spieth guy. That's pretty obvious to anybody who's watched these shows in the past, but this is the kind of golf course where it's really, really wide open driving. I'm always concerned about the big number with him. There's really no big numbers lurking when you have 60, 70, 80 yard wide fairways for a guy like Jordan Spieth. So I find myself clicking on his name a lot more than I'm comfortable with. Compared to the rest of this range, Hideki, I want to believe as well. He's kind of in the JT. I want to play him alongside another bad putter bucket, but I think that the ability he has to go low is just undeniable. He can definitely bury you as well. In like a single individual round, he could go out and put up a 61, 62 on a par 73 golf course, and you are sledding uphill with the rest of the range. So I'm higher on Spieth. I'm about the field at Matsuyama. And I'm lower on the likes of Berger and Sungjae and these guys on the bottom end simply because of ownership reasons. What are you doing in this range?
So, yeah, I think these guys are the clear values. I think that they make a lot of sense. I think some of their stability would be better served if this was a cut event because we don't really care. We're willing to endure some volatility. In fact, we probably want to embrace it.
Yes.
So Cam Smith is on my betting card. And part of that makes me a little more apt to come in underweight when he's this popular. I have him at 22-1. I'm fine with that. I do like Sungjae, but the guy I do want to talk about is Deki. I'm with you. I think that obviously a guy like Morikawa's irons are unbelievable, and so are Berger's. I got to give him credit. Decky is Decky, though. He is someone who's just dominant with long irons. His putting is horrendous. He lost 9.6 strokes at the CJ Cup, and that was almost not his worst putting performance of the year because he lost 9.4 strokes at Memorial putting. He lost 9.7 strokes at this very event at the beginning of last year. So he can do that. But when he doesn't do that, he's still an electric player. He's in no man's land with Spieth. So although I get why the chalk is the chalk in the mid eights, I'm going to be pivoting off them at times. I still like them. I'm going to have them in lineups, just not together. I think getting them all together would be a big mistake.
I kind of agree with you with that. I think that's a sharp take. Just making sure that you're not overexposed to 29% owned golfers in this grouping. And finding paths to get a little bit different. Decky, man, dead last in this field in putting. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. If you give me Decky putting at Augusta as opposed to anywhere else, that's, I mean, over. It's just, that's over. Oh shit. Then I can't roster him. Yeah. Then Decky, I'm going to have a little bit still. It's just undeniable his scoring ability. And I will say, having played it, I had a lot more long irons that day than what I was anticipating playing the Plantation. Number two, from the tips, again, they had some of the tee boxes roped off where you couldn't play the absolute tips, but that makes like a hole like number two from that very back tee box a little bit longer. You get that side wind coming off the ocean. So you're definitely hitting like a three or a four iron there. You're looking at a couple of these par fives, specifically number 15. You're probably hitting a two or three iron into that one. 18 plays a little bit shorter. I mean, he's definitely somebody that if you get more, you're probably hitting more long irons out here than what I was really expecting, unless you're a guy like Bryson. So Hideki, probably I can talk into a little bit more than what I was thinking before, but I do not want to get carried away.
Working down to the next range, we're in the sevens. I want to ask you just a real quick rapid fire, just a yay or nay on Tony Finau, though.
Yay.
Okay. I'm with you.
I'm not normally a Tony Finau guy.
I don't mind him here. I'm putting him with Bryson in some lineups, go a little driver heavy. He can score. I have no problem with Finau. Mid-range sevens and upper range. Patrick Reed is there. Mark Leishman is there. Taylor Gooch is there. And that is a name we've heard a lot this week. Another popular play. Reed's the wild card. I like Leishman a lot. And then what do you do with Taylor Gooch, who's been playing out of this world?
Yeah, this is another range where you are seeing some really sharp ownership. I think what's going to happen is I'm going to come overweight to Patrick Reed, and then I'm going to be kicking myself because I don't think the field is going to get to as much Mark Leishman as they probably should on this golf course. It really just stands to reason. What is his bugaboo, Ben? What has it always been?
Mark Leishman. Me playing him? That's probably the biggest catalyst.
There you go. Catalyst. Well, are you playing him this week?
Right. Yeah, I like him a lot.
Yeah, me too. I absolutely love him. The big concern that you always have with Mark Leishman on any given week that you're rostering him, right, is he just going to get the ball in play off the tee?
Yep.
Can he get it in play off the tee? This is the premium golf course that you should be playing Mark Leishman. I'm worried that I'm going to be rostering too chalky of lineups if I like combine him with Sam Burns. But John Rahm is already a point of leverage. You know, you're already getting him sub 20% more than likely. Again, you won't really know until it shows up, but there's a limited amount of options here. You really got to pick your spots. And I think I'm willing to overinvest in Reed and Leishman, and Gooch has been our boy for a lot of the fall. He really, really paid off nicely. The RSM, it was unfortunate there weren't a lot of big contests out for that and couldn't really capitalize on that, but just yet another stud out of Oklahoma State. But like, I'm looking at this entire field, and I just think Mark Leishman, probably the most undervalued player relative to salary based on last year. And then Patrick Reed over on long-term form, probably the most undervalued player at 7,900.
Yeah. A couple things here from chat. Reed could be working on the old equipment change. I think that just ups the variance. I kind of like that. Doesn't bother me. I like Leishman. I think it was pretty clear he was hurt at one point. He is healthy. He's looked really good. He's an Aussie. Wind doesn't bother him. Aussies have good track records here. Price is right. I'm just on it. I'm not all in on Leishman, but he checks a lot of boxes. Taylor Gooch is, again, I'm not opposed to him. I just think that he is someone that we're really banking on. I guess you could call it recent form, but it's not that recent of form. It's swing season form. He is coming off RSM and he's been fantastic. He can get crazy out with the irons. I don't mind it. I would rather play Leishman straight up though.
Yep. I'm with you. Leishman it is.
Yay or nay on Kokrak?
I'm going to go yay. I'm going to probably have some coke rack too. Sounds like I like everybody. Again, I'm finding these very strong stances. I'm not going to be playing Xander like legitimately almost at all. I'm not going to be playing Daniel Berger almost at all. And again, those are uncomfortable fades, but in the context of finding ways to get different, that's kind of my deal, is just finding some of the guys that I really don't want to be on so that I can play my guys. And so I think coke rack, 7,700 Houston, that golf course played very difficult compared to expectations coming into it. I would say, he drove the ball pretty well. Like Jason Kokrak, we've seen him kind of turn it on here from time to time. I really don't ever know what to get from him other than a steady putter. So Jason Kokrak, I'm fine to get to at 7,700. He's definitely had some spikes in some no cut events. I know that he won a WGC last year when it was in Vegas. So I definitely look at him as somebody who can get it done.
Yeah, again, and I do want to bring up that point, because of course this show, among many things, we're a community here, and it's a very tight knit one. When you have 38 golfers, it's very possible that you play everyone. Like you're going to have exposure to majority of these guys. It's more fine edges. I would consider myself pretty aggressive with PGA. I take a lot of 0% stands. This is not the week for that, in my opinion. Like even guys that I don't like, I am playing them. I'm just going to be under the field with nuanced positions. So I know that can be a little convoluted at times, but I did want to point that out. Like guys like Gooch, and for me, Sam Burns, there's a chance that my best lineup has one of them in it. It's just not going to be my biggest lineups. Points per dollar in terms of my allocation will be different. Things like that. All right.
I'm glad you specified that, because I would really hate to, take a tournament down. I am 5% Xander. And he's coming in at freaking 26.4%. Exactly. It would be a bummer to have something win and everybody comes at you when it's like, look, I was 1/5 the field on the guy.
That's a good problem to have. I hope I have that problem. lately, we haven't had to worry about that.
The money still cashes the same way.
Yeah, you can't see my lineups when you type them in that top 500. But now we're gonna get on a nice heater to start this year. Let's get to the cheapies, because if you do play Rom, if you do double up north of 10. You're going to need some of these guys. You've got guys like Max Homa. You've got guys like Seamus Power. You've got the Bucket Hat Man and Joel Dahman, amongst many others in the sixes. Those are my three favorite. That's why I put them in this rank them. So feel free to talk about them, but you can open it up to the entire range.
So I've got a direct line to Max Homa now, which is kind of fun. It's kind of a fun winter transfer deal. He plays up in Valencia, which is pretty close here to LA. It's just north on the 5 interstate, and you head up there, and we've got a mutual buddy. My two-man partner actually used to play some two-man events with him way back when they were kids, but Max Homa, good dude. And it sounds like his game is starting to round into form. And I always never know how to really factor that in, looking at somebody that, Max Homa has not been very confident talking about his golf game, even coming off of a W at the Fortinet. It'd been really, really lackluster here in the rest of the fall. He's implemented some changes, and we'll see if it comes to fruition here, but sounds like he's still in the figuring it out stage of it. So I'm going to be a little bit lower on Max Homa as a result. I know it sounded like I was setting up to say that I liked him this week. I'm going to be a little bit lower, 15%. He's the highest owned of that like upper six range right now, which is a little bit surprising, but it shouldn't be. For me, the guy that I like the most is Garrick Higgo, and he's sub 5% right now. I just think that there's a lot of talent, and we could be in a buy low spot. Now, Garrick Higgo, the lefty swinger out of South Africa, for those who aren't familiar, he's a guy that literally won out of the middle of nowhere, the Palmetto. And I fortunately touted him that week out of the middle of nowhere, because nothing he did afterwards it was basically reprehensible. Every time I said his name, I'd be like, yeah, but you can bet on the talent. We don't know. And it just never showed up. I think having a long offseason for some of these kids that, they really experienced the grind for the first time over here in America. I think going to Hawaii, playing a little resort golf, that can be really, really nice. Garrick Higgo as well, somebody that you don't necessarily have to worry about going wayward here. I definitely think Higgo, 6,400, sub 5%, another point of leverage, right? Like getting at least 3-4x the field.
So Higgo is an interesting case. He was murdering over in Europe, going like 30 under in the Canary Islands. He gets his shot over here. He wins. That's why he's here. And he's absolute garbage. A hard reset. He's also, how old Higgo is?
Like 22.
Yeah, 22. I thought he was older. Right. So this is a kid obviously he's still getting better on the fly. He gets thrust into full-time status. Is it really that, you know, shocking that he struggled all on tour? He's probably not ready. Now he comes into a non-cut elite scorer. I think he's very live to finish dead for last, but I still think he's a very good tournament play because that's what you're getting with a guy like Higo. When he putts, obviously he's got the talent tee to green. So I don't mind that. I have guys like Max Homa and Joel Dahmen much safer. These are tournament experienced players week in and week out on the PGA Tour, but you got to do something in these events. And Higo is amongst the lowest owned on the entire slate. That makes it interesting. One of his neighbors in the basement is Cam Davis, an Aussie who's played on tour, elite par five scoring. Do you have interest there in a guy who's been playing bad, but he's shown flashes of big time scoring?
Yeah. Shout out to Lucas Herbert, somebody touting him in there as well. Mike H saying par five scoring, third best in the field. Definitely somebody who can go out and bomb it there. World number 41. I don't mind taking some shots on him as well there. Cameron Davis, though, these Aussies, I mean, it's a pretty open spot. They're used to having the wind ramp up. I would say, I mean, he's been more of a bomber in the past. He's okay. You're really kind of like picking, you're like picking straws. You're trying to find some kind of a case that you can make for these guys. I'm more willing to make the case for Higo than him. But Cameron Davis, he's definitely shown the upside. Obviously, he won the Rocket Mortgage. Everybody has upside here for the most part, but definitely a volatile piece of your lineup.
Yeah, I think it's always good if you have a chalky contingent to maybe go to one of these guys. But I do want to point out something we talked about at the beginning. I would rather play six guys I feel very good about and leave money on the table, which is my leverage, than play five guys that I like and someone I hate that I know is going to be low owned to make it unique. Like there are other ways to make lineups effective. And we're going to do that at the end of the show rather than just being like, well, let me just play this guy because he's terrible and no one's going to play him and that'll make it unique. That's not a winning strategy. In my opinion, Seamus, I think, is fine. He's another one, obviously cooled off a bit, but playing quality golf, he can get crazy hot, balanced game, approaches are good. I'm just fine with him. I think the price is more than reasonable. And if you correlate to RSM, obviously he stands out a little bit.
Yep, he's just fine by me too. Again, we can find little reasons to fire up some of these guys down here on the bottom end. And you've made your cases. I've made mine. I feel pretty confident that, you know, out of a sub 40 person field, we're pretty much just kind of building the narratives that we want, more so than saying there's anything to directly, cause like all these guys, they're the lowest price on the board. But yeah, the RSM, definitely a good comp.
Yeah. I see some of that for sure. All right. Let's turn it to the betting card. Then we're going to build some lineups. We're going to give some hot takes. We'll answer some questions if we need to. It's a weird field. It's not a great betting field. I bet Bryson to win at 12-1. I bet Cam Smith to win at 22-1. Is there anyone on your card? Do you even have a card for a event like this?
Well, yes. I mean, again, I got to go on Eitan Chander's show today. Okay, so then you got, you know, that put me in, and that put me in fine form to get ready to fire right away here in the season. I'm definitely starting the card off with Sam Burns. Like there was never any chance that I wasn't going 18-1 on that guy. I thought that made a lot of sense. I like Patrick Reed 28-1. Once again, there's some really high volatility. If he can be tuned up, 28-1 is just wrong for Patrick Reed in any field, just about. So I'm looking at him being a guy that has a bounce back year. Do I like him as a person? No. Do I like him as a golfer? Not really. But do I like making money? Yes. You give me 28-1 on a guy like him, that makes a lot of sense. I'm really steering away from betting any kind of like top tens or parlaying any of that together. I would much rather kind of like aim for the top here. And at 110-1 though, Garrett Higo, I'm okay with that, but I'm much more going towards the top five for him. There's a number of these guys that are around 14, 16, 18-1. He's one of them, probably my favorite of the grouping.
It's again, you know, with a non-cut and it's a weird tournament, I'm not getting crazy with my betting card. It will expand. I do agree. Patrick Reed's number probably is the silliest one out there. And I might just have to add that I've seen that all over the industry, but I think everyone is honestly, it's warranted. I do
want
to say
it just stands out. It stands out. It's such an outlier.
It does. It is an outlier. And again, when you're talking about betting and win equity and stuff, we don't care if Patrick Reed is off, because if he doesn't win, you lose your bet, whether he comes in second or 38th. And I think that's an important thing. I do want to give a quick plug to the Odd Shopper YouTube channel, Awesome Odds YouTube. If you haven't been over there, if you're a friend of the show and you're enjoying it, if you are unaware, we have an Awesome Odds YouTube strictly for betting content. It's fantastic. Me, Eric, the whole team, we're over there. We're talking golf, NBA, football, college football with Matt Gajewski, college basketball, all those good things. So if you are interested in that stuff, after the show, maybe you type that in and subscribe over there. Help us out. Help us build that channel. And of course, oddshopper.com. Golf will be added. We're going to be doing some very, very fun things on this show with our betting picks in the future. But you know what time it is? It's time to build a lineup with the lineup builder. Here we go. We do this on Thursday Night Football. Our man Tyler knows that drill. We put up that liner builder. We're going to do some things. We'll snake draft. Since I invented this, I'm going to defer, like winning the coin toss in football. I'm going to put you on the spot. You can go first.
All right. Well, so we're doing DK or Yahoo?
We're going to do DK.
Okay, we're going to do DK right off the bat. Again, our sponsor, Yahoo, you need to be playing in that $20. We're looking at a 12% management fee. No doubt about it, but can I just eat my chalk at least? Sam Burns. Let's just click on him. 9,100 Bermuda specialist. I value him a little bit higher than you. It's not going to get in. We could pick 15 golfers and we're not going to get Sam Burns in the lineup. So he'll be my first guy off the board.
All right, Sam Burns. So I don't think that I want to start with Sam Burns. So I'm going to use some of our salary. I'm going to go to the guy that I like. I'm going to go with Bryson. I think that creates a little leverage for us. You know, we're starting to be different. I don't think JT and Burns is a great starter. You can do it, but it's not how I'd go. So we'll start with Sam Burns, and I'm going to follow it up with Bryson.
Okay. Again, Bryson. We're just embracing a lot of that volatility. And let's get somebody who I think is pretty consistent and should be able to fit in. I'm curious how much we have left for it, but I think Patrick Cantlay, kind of put him into the mix as well. Somebody that I'm just pretty high on. 2 9Ks with an expensive dude. Bryson, though, giving you 800 savings off ROM, I think we can still build a pretty good lineup. Ooh. Sub 7,700 now per player. Put Cantlay into the mix. Those are three pretty strong upside plays.
So we can definitely make this work. No problem about it. And it's an interesting compo. We've gone, I think a lot of people are going to start in the nines with double ups, but not many people are going to play north of 10, 2 9s, and then omit maybe the eights entirely. And that's maybe what we could do here.
I love it.
I'm going to save some money for us. I'm going to go down and I'm actually going to take your boy, Garrick Higo, and put him in there. And now I know that we have leverage. So we can be a little more conservative if we need to. We could still go aggressive. Two spots left, 7,300.
God, I was so nervous about touting Garrick Higo in life and just having you behind me. Just that makes me so confident. Can't wait to lose money together, my friend.
Yeah, he's going to be a big risk.
Going to be lovely. Now, there's one way we could do this. We could go up to Reed. We could figure that out. But I say we do try to find some kind of a way to save some money here. Let's do the bottom end. Let's go to Leishman. We're both on Leishman. 7,500 for him there. 7,300 per, I guess we have to go 7,100 or down. This will be something where we're looking like a large field tournament and leaving a little bit of salary on the table, maybe skipping the likes of Nah, Horschel, all these other guys. Just by default, there's this little chasm between 7,500 and 7,100. I'm less concerned leaving money on the table when something like that exists. You have that existing in the 9K range as well. I think that's a quick way to get a little bit different because people hand building aren't going to fall into that as much.
Totally okay with that. And then to close it out, we've got a million different options. I would pick Max Homa, but you can do a lot of things. I do want to point out a couple of these guys, because again, Yahoo does a fantastic job, but one of the edges over there, they price a lot of guys at the straight min. So for example, this week they have, what is this? They have 13 guys at the minimum price. And obviously not all of them belong there. Siwoo Kim is the minimum. Mark Leishman is $23 on Yahoo. That is basically the minimum. That Taylor Gooch is $28 on Yahoo. These are some really good values. I think over there, Stars and Scrubs is even more warranted because you can get some straight fire at the bottom. Lineups that would cost you well over the cap on a spot like Drek. Look at Tyler. He's got it up already. This is good work here. I like it. So there's a lot of options there for a lineup on Yahoo where you go all the way to the bottom and all the way to the top.
Yeah. Mark Leishman, $23. Definitely both of ours. I'm expecting point per dollar. Best value on the slate.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right. We've done some lineups. We've done some good work here, but the show is not over yet. Two things. One, I am making it a resolution for the show, and I know you guys can help me out. We're going over 100 likes for every single golf show this year. We only need a couple, 20 plus right now. If everyone can chip in and just push this over 100, we're going to do this each and every week. We're going to do that. We're going to make this a better show each and every week because it's hot take time. When it's hot take time, it gets a little dangerous. Now, the slate has been wiped clean. I'm declaring that, Eric. All our jackass comments from last year, they are erased, Men in Black style. So you are fresh to make a hot take. Ooh. Do you want to go first or do you want to go second?
I'll let you have the grandma pushing the boat across and Dante's Peak hot take to start off the season.
No, that's not happening. The lava induced river where she is in pain, but she's still pushing the boat. Like, she's not immediately deleted, as I assume if you actually did that, you would be. Correct me if I'm wrong there, chat. Nope. I'm going to go and I'm going to look for the best player in the sixes. And I'm going to go to the betting boards and I'm going to say, okay, what can I get there? And I'm looking. I don't see anything for the outrights. I think that's a little too much. Max Homa is 10-1 for a top five. I like that number. But Joel Dahmen is 16-1 for a top five. And mm-hmm. to me, that is a better number. I like Homa better, but not that much better. I'm going to say that Joel Dahmen, 16-1, top five, is worth a shot here.
Price sensitivity. I love it. I think that that's a sharp call. I'm just going to throw it out there. Sam Burns wins this golf tournament by two or more strokes.
Two or more.
Not just like a close, it's wire to wire W for Sam Burns. Actually, I'm going to go to three or more shots for Sam Burns here. Wire to wire. He's going to go out of the gate low and he is going to win this golf tournament. Welcome back to 2022, everybody.
And look at that. We are about to tick to 100 likes when one of you fine people press it. Bradley asked, any one and done takes? Most one and done start at Sony, so I'm not playing in any that have started. I think Patrick Reed would be a good one and done. I think someone in that mid-range, maybe like a Leishman, someone like that. I wouldn't burn a top guy here.
Yeah, I'm not. I was going to say, I think everything starts next week for all the major pools. But if you had to do one, do not use a 10K player. Do not use even a 9K player. I think you're just giving up a lot. Patrick Reed, probably a really good call, just because, at least he's out of the way and you don't have to worry about him the rest of the year.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? All right. This was fun, my friends. Again, if you guys have any questions and we didn't get to it, at JazzRazDFS, at Eric Lindquist, we'd be happy to help you on Twitter. We'd be happy to help you in Discord, awesomo.com/join if you want to get inside, awesomo.com/promos if you want to learn more about those deals that we have. Good luck. Enjoy the tournament. I am so happy to be talking golf with all you guys. Again, shout out to Yahoo and shout out to Tyler for manning the booth for us. We'll be back each and every Wednesday doing this. I cannot wait. Let's have a great start to the season, everyone.